Hello everybody, this is English for You, the program that helps you improve your English. A very warm welcome. In the studio, I have my Fosaco student, Miss Potter. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Everything's fine?
Yes.
Martin, how's everything?
Everything's okay.
Miss Taylor, what's up?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Victor, how's it hanging?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. Today's special guest is Mr. Charles Horton from the United States, and he can speak a little Hungarian. Charles, thank you for joining us, and would you just say the first Hungarian sentence that comes to your mind?
Well, I wasn't prepared for speaking Hungarian here on the TV, but jó napot kívánok, örülök, hogy itt lehetek.
Excellent. He taught English in Hungary, but before that, he taught English in another country. He was a member of the Peace Corps. And maybe this picture helps you find out or guess the name of the country. You can have two guesses. Victor, please.
China.
One guess. What is the other guess?
Maybe Japan.
Yes. China or Japan?
Yes, I don't know. China.
China or Japan. All right. Victoria?
It's the same.
The same. Chuck?
Well, we'll turn over all the cards. This is Japan.
This is Japan, and this is the question for you. Do you think there's a difference between the way Japanese kids behave at school and Hungarian kids behave at school, as far as language learning is concerned? And then we're going to ask Chuck. Kata.
There must be some difference, because they have another kind of writing. They have different letters, and it must be very hard for them to learn European letters.
Very good point, yes.
And they have got a very difficult language, because how they pronounce words, it can be lots of meanings. And like in other languages, there are no other meanings.
Good. And what about behavior, Victoria?
There is definite discipline, as far as I know, because they have to learn a lot. And it's very important for them.
Whereas in Hungary, we don't have to learn
a lot.
Okay, over to you, Chuck. So, would you just talk about your Japanese experience compared to the Hungarian one?
Well, certainly when I was teaching classes in Japan, the classes were much larger in Japan. I taught 40 students at a time there, whereas when I taught here in Hungary, I taught only 10 or 12 students at a time. But it was a good thing, because in Japan, in general, the students are much better behaved. They listen and are quiet, whereas in Hungary, the kids are a little bit louder, which is a good thing many times in an English class. In Japan, it was often very hard to get the kids to speak, because they were afraid always to make mistakes.
Thank you very much. Very interesting. But this is one of your persona. And the other one is, and it's going to come up on the projector, but it's not that easy, because Charles' job is to prevent historic buildings or areas from being destroyed. What do you think he is? An environmentalist, a preservationist, or a protectionist? Guesses, Martin?
I think he's a protectionist, because an environmentalist wants to keep nature in this form.
You are very right. An environmentalist's concern is the natural surroundings, the environment. But a protectionist, what is a protectionist, Chuck?
A protectionist is someone that wants to, in general, keep foreigners out of their country.
Right. So to put a very large tax on foreign goods, and this way protects the industry in their home country. Mm-hmm. So you're definitely not
no,
a protectionist.
I'm not a protectionist.
So you can see part of your business card here. Would you be so kind as to read it out?
It says that I'm Charles Horton, historic preservationist, art historian, and community development consultant.
Art historian is pretty straightforward. It means művészettörténész. But what about this preservationist, historic preservationist? Can you give us a nice explanation?
Certainly. A historic preservationist is someone who strives to preserve, protect, and conserve the built environment. so the buildings and city. And we do this through physical means by fixing the broken parts of old buildings, restoring them back to how they looked before, and also through intellectual methods by planning and by advocacy.
Thank you very much. We have this work here you did back at university. This was an assignment or term paper?
That was an assignment back in my school days.
Right. And your job was to describe this building, and mm-hmm. you worked with it a lot because I can see lots of pages devoted to this. I gave this picture to my students and I asked them to try and come up with a nice description. Over to you, Victoria.
So, this is a house. It's made of small brown bricks, and if you look at it, I mean, it definitely, I think it must be, could be in Britain. Well, I'm not sure about that since you're from the United States, but yesterday we didn't know it. And then it's got two stories, but it might be a one-story building because it's different in Britain and in the States again, what they call it. And yes.
And that's it, basically. Thank you very much. Chuck, would you come up with a beautiful, professional-sounding, very preservationist jargon? So let's just change things.
All righty, I'll do my best.
Would you like to come in?
Certainly.
Yeah, sure, thank you.
All righty. Well, you're correct, it's a house. This is a Georgian plan house that has a gable roof. It is 5 bays wide by 3 bays deep, and it has its entryway at the center of the front facade. It is made actually of brown stone as opposed to bricks, and it has a slate roof.
Excellent. Thank you very much. What's a slate roof in Hungarian?
Sátortető.
Poló, I would say.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much. And now we're going to have some more vocabulary in connection with preservationism. So we are going to have the three R's, rehabilitation, restoration, and reconstruction. That's what preservationists do with buildings. Do you have any idea what the difference might be between these three words? Kata, would you try?
Oh. I don't know what rehabilitation means because I heard it only in connection with people. Restoration, it's when those people make a building look new, or they try to mend it. And reconstruction is maybe they plan it again or replan it somehow.
Right. Chuck, what is rehabilitation?
So rehabilitation is when you take an existing building and you fix it so that it can be used with modern equipment and things like that. So you change it a little bit. You don't keep it exactly the same.
Right. Restoration?
Restoration is when you try and take an old building and make it look exactly like it did sometime before. So exactly as it did maybe 100 years ago.
Thank you. And reconstruction?
Reconstruction is done usually when a building has disappeared from the face of the earth. Many times, like in World War II, many buildings were bombed, and so they had to reconstruct the entire building.
Thank you very much. Now, I have another project here, and this is a picture of Szeged. And it shows a streetscape. Again, a very professional sound word, jargon, streetscape, coming from landscape, maybe. What was this project about?
The project that I did was a group of recommendations for the city of Szeged on what sort of regulations they could make in their historic downtown for what types of signs should be allowed.
Signage?
Signage, yeah.
What a nice word. All right, thank you very much. Now, it's going to be a competition. Kata and Márton, you are one group, you are another group, and six very famous sites are going to come up, and you can help each other, you two, and you two can help each other, and tell me how many of the pictures you recognize. Okay, would you roll the tape, please? wonderful pictures. Can I have a number?
All of them.
All of them?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Okay then, Kota. The next time it's going to be you.
This is Taj Mahal.
Yeah, we're going to have the pictures. Yeah, Taj Mahal, good. We can go on. In India, right?
Yes. The next was in Greece. And that is the Acropolis.
Acropolis,
Greece. Yes.
Excellent. You had the same idea?
Yes.
Great.
This is in Peru, I think, and it is called Machu Picchu or
Machu
something.
Machu Picchu, is it?
Machu Picchu, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The Inca city.
This is Stonehenge in England. Right. The next is the Great Wall of China. And the last one is in Venice, and this bridge is called,
Does anybody know?
The Bridge of Sighs.
No.
I don't think so. I think it's the Rialto Bridge.
Yes.
I think that's the name.
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, what is common? I mean, you have seen six pictures. What do you think is common? I'm very happy that you don't know, so now I can help. We're going to have two words here. And one is inheritance, and the other one is heritage. Okay? What is inheritance? Money, possession, passed on when somebody dies. And heritage is customs, traditions, passed on from one generation to the other. So all of these sites are on a list, on the World Heritage list. Okay? Right. Good. How many sites do you think we have in Hungary on the World Heritage list? Come up with a number.
Two.
I think four.
Four?
Two or three.
Two or three?
Three.
Three. You're going to be surprised. And again, it's going to be a competition, but now with Hungarian sites, which are on the World Heritage list. Would you roll the tape and you just help each other? Wonderful, everybody's busy working. So, how many, first of all?
Almost all.
Yeah. How many? How many signs?
How many signs were there?
Six.
Two, four, six.
There must be one more. So
yes, that's
seven.
What we do.
How many do you know?
Six.
And you?
I think six, yes.
All right, but now it's Victoria's group.
So it's Holoke, the first one.
It's going to come up pretty soon. Yes, Holoke, good.
The second, this was Pannonhalma, very famous.
The abbey, right? Mm-hmm. The abbey, Pannonhalma, good.
And then the next is Aktelek.
Right. It's a, what would you call it? Stalactite cave or dripstone, dropstone, what's the name?
Dripstone cave.
Dripstone cave or stalactite.
Yeah, it has stalactites and stalagmites.
Right, okay. Stalactites coming from the top. Mm-hmm. Stalagmites
coming from the bottom.
From the bottom, right.
Well, this is Budapest. We don't know if it also belongs to. But then we had Halászbástya as a picture.
Well,
or the
whole,
castle.
The whole castle district and the banks of the Danube.
Is it like this really in the World Heritage that we have parts
Chuck?
Of Budapest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are different parts of Budapest that are mm-hmm. contained within the World Heritage. Other parts maybe are not.
All right. Now, this was quite mysterious. We didn't know it.
Does anybody know it? I think it's the ancient or early Christian crypts in Pécs. Mm-hmm. Christian crypts. Right? Comes the next one.
It's the Esterházy Castle in Fertőd.
Right, you're absolutely right. It's the Fertőd, and not just the palace, but also the whole area, the lake area, right?
Right.
Thank you very much. So we must be very proud because we have already seven sites on the World Heritage List. Good. If you recommend, if you could recommend one building or area in Budapest to put on the World Heritage List, what would that be? Off the top of your head, a building or an area. Kata.
I thought of Vigadó.
Vigadó. Márton.
Maybe Island Margaret.
Margaret Island, Margit-sziget. Nice idea. We're going to see a map because Charles is a member of a team which applied to the UNESCO World Heritage Organization in order to put another site to the existing site on the World Heritage List. Which one do you think it is? I mean, you can see the River Danube, so this is a nice reference point here. And you can see very interesting words like, could you help me, core area?
Core area, and the area of the World Cultural Heritage, I believe, and the buffer area.
Buffer area, and that might help you.
Underground.
So, do you have any idea what it might be?
Perhaps András út.
Say it again, Kata.
András út.
You are right, you are right. So, over to you. Just talk about the buffer zone and just one or two things about this map.
So, right here, this is the existing area that has the castle and the banks of the Danube. And the new area that we are proposing is Andrássy Avenue that runs and the city park. And the areas in yellow are the buffer zone. So those are also important areas, maybe not quite as important as the banks of the Danube and Andrássy Avenue, but important enough to be included with them to add sort of protection, historical protection, for the most important core areas, which are the avenue and the banks of the Danube.
Thank you very much. There are some criteria under which an inscription, an application is proposed, and this is going to be cultural criterion number 2. Kata, would you be so kind as to read it out?
It must exhibit an important interchange of human values over a span of time or within a cultural area of the world, or developments in architecture or technology, monumental arts, town planning or landscape design.
It's pretty long and pretty difficult, the language, but can you understand how Andrássy út, Andrássy Avenue, meets this criterion?
Well, in particular, the town planning aspect is maybe the most important for Andrássy Avenue. And the cultural values it shows is something new, the idea of recreation. And the park is a very important part of Andrássy Avenue. It's the end of it. And so the road was built to connect the downtown and the park for recreation. And of course, then it was lined with very beautiful buildings and important buildings.
Right. We're going to see, yes, this beautiful picture. This is one end of Andrássy Avenue. And if you close your eyes, can you see other buildings or areas in Andrássy Avenue?
The Opera House.
The Opera House. Can you come up with the style?
Neo-Baroque.
Neo-Renaissance. Good. Any other buildings or interesting sites?
Opposing the Opera House, there is the old Institute of Ballet.
Excellent.
So.
Right. Good. Okay. Now comes the next criterion, which is cultural criterion number 4. Victoria, would you be so kind as to read it out?
It must be an outstanding example of a type of building or architectural or technological example or landscape which illustrates significant stages in human history.
Right. Again, the same question. How does Andrássy út meet this criterion?
This is actually quite similar to the criterion 2, but this concentrates a little bit more on how well Andrássy út in particular shows the time in which it was constructed, the architecture that was used, and the fact that it was built up in a very short span of time really reflects the age in which it was constructed during the second half of the 19th century. And also, of course, the Underground Line, which was the first underground on in continental Europe. And so that's an important technological innovation.
Thank you very much. What kind of architectural styles can you come up with in connection with Andrássy? We have already mentioned the Opera Building, which is neo-Renaissance.
Mm-hmm. Most of the buildings along the avenue are some type of neo-Renaissance, which, of course, there's quite a bit of diversity in the Renaissance and neo-Renaissance. But there are also some later buildings that were added on that are secessionist, Art Nouveau, or eclectic style.
Is there a difference between Art Nouveau and secessionist?
Not particular. It depends on which country. Some countries you refer to it as Art Nouveau. Some countries they refer to it as secessionist.
Right. Thank you very much. I would like you to try and recognize those buildings and areas. The first is not going to be very demanding. So everybody, please. One, two, three.
Opera.
The opera again. Neo-Renaissance or Neo-Renaissance. Both pronunciations are okay. The next one is a wonderful shot from above.
The
octagon, because it has 8 points. And I think it's really nice. Those buildings are fantastic. And the next one is another... What is it? What is it? So we have first, we have the first section from Boichi Zielinski to octagon, then the second section from octagon to this Kodai Kuren or Kodai Circus, and the third part is from here to Pershuk Tere. So we have 3 beautiful sections. How long do you think the whole Andrássy út is? Just give me a number.
2.3 kilometers,
approximately, 2.3. Right, thank you very much. Now, the present state of conservation, because unfortunately maintenance hasn't been very properly done, so I found an excellent sentence in the book Chuck gave me, and this is it. Chuck, would you be so kind as to read it out?
Certainly. Steel framing is corroding, mechanical systems are obsolete, wood-framed roofs are subject to damage by fungus and rot. The street plants are aging, and facades are damaged by pollution.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm a little bit depressing, but we can help. Corroding, street framing is, steel framing is corroding. Come up with the Hungarian word.
Korodálódik, rozsdásodik.
Excellent. Mechanical systems are obsolete. Can you come up with a synonym, obsolete? Out of date, old fashioned. Fungus, can you come up with a synonym? Mushroom, but a very, very interesting type of mushroom. And obviously plants are aging, that's not a problem. And facades, what is a facade?
The facade is the front of the building that you see from the street.
Right, thank you very much. What are the advantages of being on the list? In other words, does this organization give money?
Not directly, but it's easier to receive funds from grants if you're already on the World Heritage List, because then you can say, these are some of the most important buildings in the world to preserve. And so people are more willing and governments are more willing to provide money for their preservation.
Right, and I always think that it's very nice that here we have Chuck from the United States, and he helps us to be on the list, on the World Heritage List, and it's always very nice. So, Chuck, thank you very much for coming.
And well, thank you for having me.
And congratulations on this work, and good luck to
you.
Well,
hopefully in June, end of June, we will know if it gets on the list.
The end of June. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to watch out for this.
All righty.
Okay. We're going to have English for you. A week from now. Bye-bye.
Julia elhagyott.
Akarom őt.
Szóval kiárusítod őt, Sasha?
Bármit megtennék.
Kísértés.
Azt hiszem, lefeküdtem Sasával.
Titkok.
Nem csak te látsz dolgokat, André.
Nem tetszik, hogy emberek halnak meg a laboromban.
Szenvedély.
Tönkreteszlek, Steve.
Nincsenek játékszabályok.
Michael Krieger biztos sok pénzt fizetne, hogy ne derüljön ki.
5 millió dollár.
Nincs menekvés.
Ha bántod a családomat, megöllek.
Veszélyes szerelem. Minden hétköznap az M2-n.
A bombát távvezérlő hozta működésbe. A mechanizmus egyszerű, de rendkívül hatékony.
Vagyis tudniuk kellett, hogy a volánnál nem én ülök.
Megint telefonált Vanni. Azt mondja, ez a gyönge láncszem. Főleg egy olyan valakivel szemben, mint ez a nekivadult parancsnok.
Na jó, hagyjunk neki munkát. Ráadásul olyat, hogy hülyét csináljon magából.
Ezt megkaptuk. Most aztán ez a második szál is el van vágva.
Én 2 hónapja keresek valami összefüggést ebben a sztoriban.
Rokká parancsnok. A történet folytatódik. Minden hétköznap az M2-n.
Együtt könnyebb. Adója 1%-ával járulja hozzá ön is a Magyar Olimpiai és Paralimpiai Csapat eredményes londoni szerepléséhez. Legyen ez a pillanat közös.